how we use our time, and how we can quickly get mired down in things of the world, and before we know it, we're struggling to stay afloat, if you will, sometimes, and get everything done that we think we need to do. And what prompted me to, I think I wrote this probably maybe 3 years ago or so. I don't know if I ever presented it or not when I wrote it, but a lot of times I write devotions and lessons and things, and I never use them. They're just something for me, I guess, that the Lord gives me for me. But this one I came across and reminded me of some things and priorities, how I spend my time and what to do with it and what's the best thing to do with it. And what prompted me to just look at this at all was I was working on a transcription of one of Brother Gordon's sermons on America is no longer what it once was. I hope you remember those sermons. He preached those, that's probably going on three and a half years ago now. But one of the things that he said in the sermon was, we as God's people need to come to the vivid realization that we belong to a kingdom that is not of this world. God is the king, and we are his servants. We are here on God's business. We're not here to pack in as much fun as you can have in a lifetime. We are here on God's business. We are here as his representatives. And that's true. If we're saved and a member of one of the Lord's churches, and especially if we're in one of the Lord's churches, we're here on God's business. It's not about what we can do or what we want to do. It's what we need to do and should be doing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, as it says in Matthew 6:33, I believe. And I've said, many times, I tell people that I try to live in the present. I try to live in the now, because I have no guarantee of anything but now. I don't have any guarantee of the future, tomorrow, later this evening. Now is all I'm guaranteed right now. The Lord could take me out any second. So, like most people, I spend a lot of time planning for the future. And a lot of the things I plan for the future usually never happen. And I say plan for the future. A lot of times it's just worry about things for the future, of the coming, that might happen. Worry about things that might happen that almost never do. And my nature, my carnal nature, always usually takes me down the well-worn road of worst-case scenario. You know, what's the absolute worst thing that can happen? And that's what I end up dwelling upon. And that's usually the first thing I think about. And I think a lot of people do. We're all going to jail for some reason or other. Maybe the feds are going to come in and they're going to shut the church down. They're going to throw us all in jail. And that could happen. I don't think it's going to, but it could. They're going to come and take everything I own, everything I've worked for my whole life savings. They're going to come and take it. And, I've had these thoughts many times. But one thing I've learned is that God is always able to provide for us, to look out for us. And all that worry and all that concern and everything like that just amounts to waste. Just wasted time, wasted thought, wasted concern, anxiety. just doesn't happen. And because a lot of this stuff doesn't happen, I mean, we concern ourselves with it, but do we concern ourselves in that way that we concern ourselves with the worldly things in the future and what could happen? Do we concern ourselves that strongly about what I do for the Lord, what I do for God? Do I plan to do the things of God the way I plan to do the things for myself? I've spent a lot of time planning vacations and planning hunting trips and planning to do things, you know, and put the pieces together so that I can accomplish some thing that's ends up being pretty much meaningless in the long run anyway. But I spend a lot of time on that sort of thing. And I wonder to myself, and I hope you do too, do you plan to do things for the Lord the way you plan to do things for yourself? Do you spend that amount of time? Do you have that much zeal to do it, to do those things? And I'm sad to say that most of my life, I just winged it. You know, I just was sort of on autopilot for a lot of years. And I just, you know, I came to church and I was working full time and came to church and was busy and, you know, just busy with life. And most of the time it was just autopilot, you know, serving the Lord. And the way I thought most of the time was the way I thought about doing things for God and so on and so forth was, well, when I get all my stuff done, then I'll have time for God's stuff. You know, I can't come over and spend a whole day, you know, working at the church because I'm working full time and Saturday is the only day I have to get my stuff done. And so it's a, in the long run, it's just a selfish way of thinking that we have. Luke 12:15 says, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." We strive in this world to attain possessions. And lots of people, I mean, that's secular society today. It's like, it's not who you are, and it's what you have. You know, you have a good job, you have a beautiful home, you have a lot of money, you're able to do things, and you are successful. That's what secular society tells us. But the Bible says that a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Our life is not just about what we have and what we do. It's about a lot more than that. After these verses in Luke, Jesus tells the disciples about a man that had accumulated much wealth that would sustain him in a grand lifestyle for many years. That's the parable of the rich man. And everybody should be familiar with that. He had so much that he decided to build bigger, better, grander than he had before. He was going to demolish everything he had, build bigger barns to store all the things that he had. And then he was going to sit back and take it easy. He, the man, had his future all planned out. But then Luke 12:20 says those two little words, which are very significant. But God. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? We need to ask ourselves that question. You know, I in particular have grappled with this a lot of times. And the Bible, you know, when the Bible refers to someone as a fool, that's a pretty big put down. That's a pretty serious thing to call somebody a fool. And I personally don't do that to people without thinking about it. And because in Psalm 14:1 it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." That's pretty serious. I mean, someone, to call someone a fool, you're telling them they don't think there's a, you don't think they believe in God at all. In their heart, they don't believe in God. And so that's a pretty serious accusation, if you want to use that word. But that's what God said this man was, that he was a fool. Because this man had planned his future without consulting God, without reference to God, without consideration of God. So Luke goes on to say in verse 21 of Luke 12, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." So God calls this man a fool. And Jesus continues in the parable in verse 21, "So is he," so is anybody, "that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." If we neglect the things of God in favor of the things of this world, we're heading in the wrong direction. God calls us a fool for that. And that's not my opinion. It's right here in the Bible. That's Jesus saying these words, not me. That's what Jesus calls people that lay aside the things of God for the things of the world. It's not my accusation. That's Christ telling us that. How we spend our time is important, because our time is precious. We have very little of it in the grand scheme of things. You know, you might live to be, like my mother lived to be almost 95 years old. But you take a ruler and you measure out 95 inches and it gives you a visual reference of something. But then on either side of that is eternity. You know, if you could measure eternity, which you can't, you know, everything just gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller the farther into eternity you go and the farther from eternity you come. So just a little tiny, not even visible, super tiny sliver in eternity is 95 years. Some of the men of the Old Testament that lived nearly 1,000 years, 950 years or more, is nothing compared to eternity. So if we live to be 95 or 100 or 70 or 75, we have precious little time to serve the Lord. And that should be our number one concern. But I know I do. I spend my time going after all the things that we think will make us happy. You know, spend a lot of time and effort and money and everything doing things and attaining things that are meaningless in reality. You know, I have, you know, I'm the gadget guru. You know, I like computers. I like electronics. I like anything that's a gadget, a digital watch, a laptop, a tablet, a, you know, cell phone. All those things are fascinating to me, and I spend a lot of time messing around with them. I do use them for things, but what I use them for is I don't need to use them for the things I do, but it to me, it's more fun doing them if I use a computer or something. And I have a 3D printer that I bought, a cheap one, you know, and I can make little plastic parts on it, and it's fun, you know. And I have a laser engraver that I can, you know, burn images and stuff on whatever with it. And it's fun, you know. I get a kick out of it. But it's meaningless, you know. What does it do? It just makes more junk, you know, sitting around and spend a lot of time figuring out how to make it work. And then when you get it working, it's, oh, yeah, and then you set it on a shelf and that's it, you know, until something else comes along. And I suppose if I had a hobby, that would be my hobby. But I always tell people when they ask me what my hobby is, I say, well, there's a lot of things I like to do, but there's nothing I have to do. You know, I mean, some people are, despondent and depressed and disappointed if they don't get to do the thing that they love to do. And the only thing that I can honestly say that I am sometimes disappointed about is that I don't get to go to, you know, to church and to special meetings and things like that. I really enjoy, when I do go, I really enjoy going and doing those things. And, but I am truly disappointed when I don't get to go. And when I don't get to come to church, I really miss it a lot. Just one time, I miss it a lot. And, So those are the things that disappoint me, and I hope they disappoint you as well. I hope you're as disappointed about not getting to come to church as you would be not getting to do some favorite thing you like to do. Most of the time, though, I find that it's me. It's myself holding me back from doing those things because I don't plan for it. I don't try to find out, you know, what churches are having special meetings or who's having what when and so on and so forth. And now with this COVID business going on, they almost can't have that kind of stuff anymore. So I really miss it now, not being able to go at all because no one's having it anywhere because of this goofy virus thing that's going around. So, but like I said, something I've learned a lot since I retired about serving the Lord and about the Lord in general. And one of the things that I'm certain of is God is able to make us able to do those things that he would have us to do. A lot of times I didn't go to conferences because I didn't figure I could afford it financially. But God can make that happen. If we have the desire to go, he can make it possible. You just have to have that faith that he can do that. I've said it myself, and I've heard other people say it, that when it comes time to do something for God, well, I'm so busy. I just don't know how I could cram anything else in to my schedule. I'm just swamped, you know. And, I mean, I've got a lot going on. But are we so busy that we don't have any more time in our lives to do God's work? Or to do something for God's church. I think we're experiencing right now this church is experiencing having a growing experience in doing things at the church here, doing things that need to be done, taking on things that we have never taken on before or neglected or tried to get someone else to do. And I think it's good for us. I think we're learning and And it's something that we need as a church to be able to handle the things that come our way, the difficulties and the problems. We have a lot of talent in this church. We have a lot of people that know how to do things, and or know people that know how to do things. And I think it's good that we're experiencing doing these things and solving these problems as a church. And it's been great, I think. But it also gives us that priority. You know, we start thinking about the church more, what needs to be done, how can we do it, what can we afford, instead of just, oh, well, you know, someone will figure it out. You know, it's good for us. And a lot of times we, you know, like I said, we think about our schedule, and, you know, I've many times in the past I've thought I have things planned and I just can't possibly squeeze another thing in. But the reality is, you know, when you really take a look at what is on our schedule, if you have a schedule to begin with, what is on our schedule? Is it our job? Are we working so many hours that our job has taken over our time completely? Most of us are retired, but there's a few people still working, have jobs, and I remember what it was like to work. But being retired, you know, I'm also trying to get caught up on the things I put off for 35 years while I was working. So it's not like I don't have anything to do, but you know, it's just stuff that got let go for a long, long time. But a lot of it is just, you know, busy, keep myself busy doing stuff. So the thought here, though, is you better be careful about putting your job before God, because God might free up your future if you get my drift. You might not have a job. If your job is in your way, you know, God can take it away. And you won't have a job. And you'll have all the time there is to serve God. Many people don't get that, though. Is it our family? I have to go and be supportive of my family, my children, my grandchildren. Are you supporting them to the point that you're putting them before the things that God would have you to do for Him? Again, you better be careful. Using your children and family as an excuse for not doing something for God, He might remove that hindrance from you. It's serious things. Is it because you have a hobby? Is there something that you like to do so much that you spend much of your spare time pursuing it? Hunting, fishing, woodworking, photography, sewing, knitting, gardening, home decorating, etc. It's just a few things, you know, that people like to do. We all have things we like to do. Most things we do for no other reason than we just like to do them. They're fun. That's like me with computers. I get a kick out of it. It's fun for me. Most people, you know, are ready to put their fist through it, you know, but I enjoy working with them. I've spent a lot of years working with computers, and I get enjoyment out of it. And there's nothing wrong with doing things that you like to do. The only thing that might be wrong with it is if you start doing it, putting it ahead of your service to God. We spend a lot of time, and some have spent a lot of money. I've spent a lot of money on stuff that is pointless. I look back and I should have spent my money on other things. It's always looking back, we can see a lot of things. Looking back, we would have done things differently. Hindsight, as they say, is 20/20. Perfect vision and looking back. But in the end, you know, these things, a lot of time, a lot of money, these things are just, they're just, when it comes down to it, it's worthless. You know, you get down to the end and it's like it says in Luke 12:20, then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? That's the bottom line, you know. It's human nature to want to leave a legacy on this earth. These statues and things that we see of men, you go down Flint, they have these statues of these businessmen that were the movers and shakers of Flint when Flint was actually something of a town, an auto town. You know, they have statues of, I don't know if they have one of Billy Durant or not, but he was a mover and shaker down there years ago. General Motors, he was the founder of General Motors. But it's human nature to want to leave something, leave a legacy. But you really have to ask yourself what that legacy is going to be. Will people say, oh, he had a real nice car. He had a real nice house. You should have seen the way it was decorated. You should see where it is. It's just breathtaking, you know. Or maybe, oh, he was a great outdoorsman. Or he made some beautiful things. He was a good craftsman. Or perhaps he was really smart. You could ask him anything. He was really sharp. He was a great guy, lots of fun. He liked to do just about anything. While those things are wonderful to hear, we're not going to hear them. They're going to be said maybe of us, but most of the time it's not said while we're alive, it's said after we're dead, and we don't hear what people think. We're going to hear something much different when we stand before God and are held accountable for our time on earth. If you want to leave a legacy, you might want to think of one that where people would say, you know, that person always told me what God did for them. They always gave God the credit for what they had. I've not done that. I would love for people to say that of me, but I don't think they will. They always went to church. They always had a smile on their face, but they made sure they told me it was because of God in their life. They always said that God blessed them so much in their life. That's a legacy worth leaving right there. To quote Brother Gordon again, we as God's people need to come to the vivid realization that we belong to a kingdom that is not of this world. He is the King and we are His servants. We are here on His business. We are not here to pack as much fun in as you can have in a lifetime. We are here on God's business. We are here as His representatives. And I hope and pray that I can leave someday. I can work. I have time left to achieve a legacy like that. Do you want to have a song, or do you want to just be dismissed? Or
just one other thing. Pray for the young man that's coming this Sunday, I believe.